100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Very important there. Get the .com in there. Don't want to go to .gov. Otherwise, the NSA will probably spy on you or think you're some sort of threat. Yeah, right. We got a fun week this week, as opposed to next week or the week before. August 31st, the sands are running out on August. You'll be seeing Miss September tomorrow, waking up to her on Labor Day. But until then, we've got ourselves 100-word stories, a whole bunch of them, on the topic of ACE. I post the topic, you come up with the stories, we gather them all up together in this thing, I ramble for a bit in between, we all have ourselves a laugh, and then we get to work on the next one. Well, you get to work on the next one, I'm pounding out a story every day. You know, it's the whole URL there, without the gov, with the .com. It's raining out, and that means laundry is going to be a little fun. That's what umbrellas were made for. That's what umbrellas were made for. First story up in the hopper on the topic of ACE is John Musico. John, tell us a story.
The Peter Principle by John Musico. Hal's real name was Simon, but he preferred the nickname Hal, like the computer in 2001, because above all things, he valued his intellect. No doubt he was a member of the Mensa Society, where they held the ACE Awards, American Coalition of the Enlightened, smartest of the smart. He made it into the elite subgroup. To his dismay, indeed to his humiliation, he soon found that he was no longer special. He resigned from ACE, and when he did, he decided further to resign from Mensa altogether. Hal now hangs out with regular guys, and again feels super special.
Thank you, John Musico. You know, my superpower is feeling super special. What's your superpower? Do we need to have that as a topic? What's your superpower? Or have we already had that? There have been over 430 weekly challenges. I can't keep track. There are just so many topics. That would involve going into the WordPress interface, searching through the category of weekly challenge, and just looking through it. We've had some repeats, and people came up with good stories each time. Maybe we should just have one topic every week. The topic is cheese. Next week, the topic is cheese. Actually, this week, the topic is ACE. And the next story is by Jeffrey Fisher.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 436 on the topic of ACE. I've got two stories for you. My first one is called 21. The last hand of the poker tournament had arrived. The remaining players were all in. Grant kept bluffing, but he had an ace-high hand of nothing. Jackson smugly displayed his ace-7 two-pair. Taylor placed his cards down one at a time. 5 of diamonds, 4 of clubs, 3 of clubs, 2 of spades, ace of diamonds, a straight. Finally, Adams placed his cards down with a smug grin. 6 of spades, 8 of spades, 9 of spades, queen of spades, and ace of spades. As Adams started to collect the pot, it suddenly dawned on the other three that this particular hand had 5 aces in it. Guns blazed simultaneously. When the smoke cleared, the dealer, who had ducked under the table as the last hand was revealed, gently retrieved the extra ace from Taylor's dead hand and pocketed a handful of large denomination chips. He made his escape before the police arrived. And my second story, in honor of the return of Doctor Who, is called ACE. Perhaps the most interesting of the Doctor's companions in the classic series was Ace, the teenage troublemaker who traveled with the Seventh Doctor. Here's a girl who, without warning, found herself on an alien world and just dealt with it. She calls the doctor Professor just to annoy him. She carries explosives with her whenever possible, and she'll even apologize if she overestimates the amount of time on one of her fuses. To top it off, she beats the crap out of a Dalek with a baseball bat. Just don't call her Dorothy. As the professor says, somewhere there's danger, somewhere there's injustice, and somewhere else the tea's getting cold. Come on, Ace, we've got work to do. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Hey, how did you like the new one that just came out? The new dude, the Peter Capaldi dude. I know, don't do the spoilers. Frickin' River Song. Right. I didn't see the second one last night because football. However, while you know who's asleep, I will probably go into On Demand and see if it's there yet. If not, well, I've got the next 2 days off, Monday and Tuesday. I'll probably check it out then. That first one, I don't know. But then all the ones where he's in transition or changing tend to be goofy or whacked out. The one with Peter Davison with the Zero Room and all that crap, oh, ugh, awful. But the first Tom Baker one, I went back and watched that. That one was good, where he's a little whacked out. But Tom Baker does a little whacked out really well. So, anyway, he was my doctor. Who was your doctor? Don't say Mangala. Next up, Richard. Speak up. We can't hear you.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday, and it's 8 o'clock. I have two stories for you this week. First is George's story, and thanks to the fact that I can't count, this is part 68, not part 67. It's called Thinking Time. Until now, George had felt like a loser, with the dealer holding all the aces. Now, out on the open road, he'd at last regained some semblance of control. If nothing else, he now had time to think, and at least he had the radio for company, although he was still baffled by the apparent ignorance of the world in general to his plight. But if the problems were so localized that the outside world knew nothing of them, all he had to do was get the hell out of this godforsaken place. If only he knew the way. And my second story is called Maverick. Lieutenant Ace McKenzie was known as a maverick. He'd built his reputation on taking things to the edge and beyond. He was good at what he did, but his superiors questioned his methods. For the third time in as many weeks, Commander Morton summoned Ace to his office for a dressing down. "Lieutenant, you simply can't carry on this way. When you're out there, you're part of a team. Your company depend on you. You can't just go off and blow your own trumpet." "Why not?" protested Mackenzie. "Because we just don't do things that way in the Salvation Army." That's my stories. Hope you have a good week. Goodbye.
Every story needs a good invasion army. Is this podcast going to get invaded? I hope so. We've got all the white flags of surrender and everything. I rented them from the French. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Richard. Actually, the UN ought to have surrender flags. Those dudes who were in the so-called peacekeeping thing for the Golan? Oh, those guys got rolled up so fast by those ones. It's like, man, it's like, everywhere now that there are blue helmets, it's like, pfft, they won't do shit. They're not going to die for this other country. They're not going to defend it. Only if you surround them and threaten them directly, then they're going to be like, yeah, da, 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 da. Whatever. Four sucks, man. So, what else? I'm looking through the list. Richard said something in his note about posting up all the topics in advance. I post up, like, a bunch of topics in that list coming up soon. That way they can roll around in your head like a rock tumbler. You know, they go into the back of your head where all the real stuff goes, as opposed to stuff in the front of your head, which is like, I like cheese with that, or, that looks good. So, yeah. And then as you come across things in your life that remind you of it, you'll be like, oh, I could write on this. That's how I do it. How do you do it? Let's find out how Tom does it. Tom?
Hello, night people. Tom here. And this week I've been throwing raw meat into the Subaru for the vengeance. I think I'm going to need a bigger cage. We celebrate a milestone this week. 7,000 stories posted. I've got 4 stories this evening. The first, poker night. On a normal night, this would have been a no-brainer. 5-card draw, 3 aces staring up at me. I'm the last in the rotation. First guy throws down 4 cards. He's holding the last ace. The next two discard 3 cards. Possible pairs chasing trips. Last man tosses 1. A man known to chase inside straights. The pot gets amazingly large. First player lays out 3 queens. Looking pretty good. Until the 3 kings come out. Broken straight just shakes his head. I lay out my aces and go for the pot. Until the man with a single ace shows his flush. Damn. Next story. Oh, what a lucky man he was. He was the first drone ace. The Air Force had to create a new medal to honor his 20 kills. Hard to find honor in 2 toy planes dogfighting. But if anything, the military mind embraces the Napoleonic law of engagement. A man will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon. The ceremony would have been grand. In the end, they just mailed it to his widow. Seems the enemy had found a way of targeting the drone's neural net and overloading the signal. Fried the ace's brain. That man got a medal too. Another ace. Story 3. Hardware. I love hardware stores, not because of their function. I'm in love with the forms. If you look carefully, every conceivable hunk of brass, aluminum, or steel has its own unique artistic flair. Plumbing flanges are downright Victorian. Extruded bars, very Bauhaus. Star punch screw heads, very postmodern. Currently I'm working with brass acorn nuts, very steampunk. It's not just parts. Table saws, sanders, drill press. Kinetic forms and motion worthy of the praise of the Italian futurist and Marcel Duchamp. Yep, I love Ace Hardware, or as I like to think of it, as my own private art supply store. And the last story. A continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 65. Hey, Ace, time to head home with the women, touted El Cid. Bannister stifled a laugh. Sparky did not. Smith clocked the bandit with the back of his hand. El Cid spit out blood and finished his insult. And the babies.
No,
boomed a disembodied voice. At once like Timmy's, but much older and raw with cancer. A 12-foot green column formed behind the lad. 3 silver shapes took form as arms and legs delineated.
We are going,
flatly stated the Duke. El Cid fell forward in submission, along with Sparky.
We are agreed?
No, we are not, replied the mother. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. And double thank you for letting us know that we've broken the 7,000 mark. 7,000 100-word stories. Are we ever going to get to 1,000,000 words? Because that's 1,000 times 100, that's 700,000. Is our goal 1,000,000? Do we want to get there someday? That's a lot of stories. That's a whole lot of stories. But I think one day we'll get there. That's actually pretty good coffee this morning. The Bailey's is helping. So the rain has stopped. I can see not so clearly now because of the Bailey's. But what do you think? You think we're going to get there? What's the final number? I'm not going to be a part of, you know, this bet. Someone else will have to cash it in because by definition, you know, one a day until the day I die, I'll be dead by then. So that's your problem, not mine. Someone else run that. I won't put in a bet because there's no way I can collect. Well, that kind of sucks. What? Oh, I should get on with it? Okay. Next up is Muncie. How's them apples, Muncie? Actually, I have apples in the fridge. I keep buying apples and then I never eat them. That's my way of staying healthy, right? And cucumbers. Ooh, I could have a cucumber.
Greetings, informers. To this, your last week as my informers. After this, you'll be packing things up, heading back to your cell blocks, and hoping not to get shanked for the squealing you've done. Huh. That took a dark turn. Ah well. Story time! On Companions by Christopher Monroe. Fans argue their favorite doctor, passionate about their preference. But there's less discussion with regard to a Whovian's favorite companion, and I don't understand why. The companion is, after all, as vital to Doctor Who as the Doctor himself, and as much a part of the flavor of the show. For me, it'll always be Ace. My first, and to this day my preference. Smart, sharp-witted, independent. Everything a companion ought to be, and forever possessing a place in my heart. Also, she beat a Dalek nearly to death with a baseball bat for calling her short. Let's see Clara do that. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, informers, and before you criticize it, remember, it's Peter Capogast. The premiere was last week, and you're lucky every story this month wasn't about Doctor Who. See you next week!
You know, I could have made the topic Who one week, but I saved you from that suffering. I'm going to slip it in next week. Thank you, Muncie. And it looks like people are jumping on the Ace bandwagon there. I thought she sucked. I mean, really? Beating a war machine with a baseball bat? Really? Really? How about Ewoks fighting stormtroopers with bows and arrows and rocks? Yeah, those writers really got around, didn't they? Okay, I'm flaming your choice. Who's my favorite companion? I don't know. I don't know. I think it was that bride because she was annoying and she gave the doctor shit constantly. She was sort of helpless, but then most companions are. I like Turlo, though. He just punched shit. He was awesome. It's like, oh, that? Punch it. But, yeah. I'm going to go with Turlo. Why? Who do you think? Romana, sort of, was supposed to be smart and awesome and all that, but really did some dumb things. I was kind of helpless sometimes. I don't know. Turlo! Okay, maybe we'll have him as a topic. Next up is Serendipity.
What's the ace worth? He asked. I frowned. Every time we play, you ask. When are you going to learn the rules? I'm sorry, he replied. I'm not really the gambling type, and I forget. Frustrated, I retorted, "Well, it's about time you got a grip. Do you realize how high the stakes are?" "Of course. That's why I get nervous. Now tell me, please, what is the ace?" "Ace I replied. "Typical," responded God, throwing down his cards. "Bust again." "Hard luck," I laughed, gathering up the cards along with a few thousand unfortunate souls in the pot.
Is it a fondue pot? Oh, fondue souls. My favorite. Ooh, is it cheese? Or are you just boiling them in oil? Must be the cheese. Or chocolate. Souls with chocolate? Oh, God. White chocolate especially. Oh, that's the best. With a little bit of raspberry. Thank you, Serenity. I was going to say Serenity. Serendipity. Serenity is something I will never have. Trust me on that. Oh, where is this piece that comes with age? It comes with Zachman, I think. Zachman is the piece that comes with age. Swimming to Lake Winnipeg? I'm never going to get that back, am I? Zachman, save me from myself. Save them from me. Save you from them. Save me from you. Save 20% this weekend only.
An old biplane lands carrying a man with a suitcase and a donkey with its hoofs on the yoke. When the plane stops, the man gets out and shakes Cliff's hand, saying, "Hello, I'm Professor Johnson, and this is my star student, Francis." Who doesn't talk much? Cliff goes to where the professor sat, looking for controls. "Can you believe it? A flying donkey." "I'll believe Francis is a flying ace when pigs fly," answered Cliff. "No, he's a flying ass. If I'd known your paper wanted to see a flying pig, I would have chosen Hampton to fly me here."
Thank you, Zachman. Although they could be drone pilots, too. No one ever knows on the internet if you're a dog flying a drone. Actually, that could be possible. Go chasing the cats. Oh, it's raining again. All over the world. Why did I bother getting these laptop risers if I never use them? Expensive chubs of plastic. I could have just used a milk carton. Lizzie? Okay, let's go to Lizzie. And keep rolling through this. It's already 9 o'clock here. I got a late start, as I usually do. Sometimes I get an early start, and then I goof around. Speaking of which, I should be goofing around for a bit. I'll see y'all in a bit. Here's Lizzie.
People say happiness is upgraded when shared, although Ron was skeptical about that. Last time he tried to meet a girl, he spent months recriminating himself for his goofiness, which triggered a discouraging sense of social inaptitude. However, he was a determined man. One day, he summoned all his courage to talk to the cutest girl he had ever seen. He sat next to her and played his card. She talked and talked. He listened. She talked some more and he listened. 30 years later, they are still together. It seems people were right about that happiness thing after all. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com and have a wonderful week. Talk to you next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Will you be there for 30 years in the weekly challenges? I hope you will. Then we may be at 2 million, 3 million, 4 million... millions and millions. Ooh, now I want a McDonald's cheeseburger. No! Do I want a Burger King cheeseburger? Maybe. Although, now that Warren Buffett is hiding all those tax revenue... What? Oh, shit. Timer is done. I need to go switch the clothes into the dryer. While I go and do that, how about you people enjoy Tora? And then I'll come back and enjoy Tora, and we'll all enjoy Tora. Tora will enjoy us, I hope. I hope we all enjoy each other together for 30 years. Because... why not?
The gambler and the stranger faced each other. Call, said the gambler. The stranger shifted a cigar from one corner of his mouth to the other. Check. The gambler showed four aces. Reckon you got me beat, said the stranger. I only got a flush. He laid down his cards. Ace high. Where did you get that ace of spades, when I got it right here? The gambler laughed nervously. Four aces still beats a flush. A gunshot barked under the table, and he fell to the floor. That it does, said the stranger, but a Colt 45 beats them all.
Remind me to draw into an inside straight with a Colt 45 next time, although I prefer the Walther P-22. Thank you. Tura. Wait, what? No, why is the volume going up and down? There, that one. My gut hits the button and it's like, boom. I just put everything in the dryer, set the timer to 45 minutes. I forgot to count the shirts. Genius me. There are quite a few quarters in one of my pockets. Had to pull those out. Go figure. Why is my ankle all curved up? Must be a cat sleeping on it. Chelsea. Let's listen to Chelsea. You want to listen to Chelsea? Okay, here's Chelsea. We're coming up on the end of the podcast here, just a few more stories, so savor these moments forever.
Ace by Chelsea. He marches alone through the maze, up one aisle and down the other, lost in his thoughts. He was, of course, thinking about the little girl in the blue dress. She'd been so small and so sweet. How could she have angered the queen so? How could she be the source of all this mess? Really, if anyone were to ask him his opinion, which he did note they had not, he would have agreed. Painting the roses red was the most logical way to appease the queen. But what did he know? He was just a lowly ace.
Oh, poor lowly ace. Everyone, this week, reach out to the poor lowly aces in your life. Don't worry, you don't have to do it as much as a normal week, because tomorrow is Labor Day. Unless you're in Canada, does Canada have a Labor Day, or do you guys have to work while we're all slacking off? I said slacking off, right? Going to stupid concerts and going to mattress sales. We don't need a new mattress, do we? But I keep saying that I'm going to get... We have like an 800 or 700 watt microwave. And I keep saying, you know, it's time we had 1100 watts. Because all the microwave foods out there, 1100 watts. What do the extra watts give you? Do they make your meatloaf even more mutatious? Mutatious? Is that a word? I've got my coffee machine. I use my coffee machine more than a microwave. Oddly enough, I don't just use it for coffee. Raspberry Snapple thingies. Even though I know they have those raspberry Snapple things in bags. Whatever. Right. I should probably get you moving here. Dionysus? Okay, let's listen to Dionysus for a bit. You're going to enjoy this. I command you.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close. I've done the math, and I really have three stories this week featuring the word ace. The first story is called My Memory of Heidegger. Everyone wants to debate Heidegger's Nazism. He also obsessed from morning to night about Go Fish. Anyone can see how his philosophy derives from this simple card game. In October 1957, I visited Heidegger in his Schwarzwald hut, which meant I had to play cards with him. After several hours, I asked the great ontologist for aces. "Go Fish," he said. On his turn, when I had one card left, he asked for aces. He declared victory before he saw the card. Furious, I reminded him that I just asked for aces. He said he'd drawn one. More nonsense. So you see, Heidegger was a big cheater too. The second story is called Tortubian Go Fish. One may study the rules of Tortubian Go Fish for decades without comprehension. An ace, this is the title they use for Tortubian game masters in honor of this central card in their version of the game, must account in each outcome for the moves and tactics employed in the game insofar as they are motivated by the absence of aces in the Tortubian 87 card deck. Until such an account is given, the game is non-existent. This opacity, along with the rule that an ace may not bear any outward sign of status, and Tortubian love of their game, have established Go Fish as the center of Tortubian existence. And the last story is called Clowns. On Clownola, the planet, in distinction from Clownland, the planetary government, a concept praised by Kant but dismissed by Hegel, the improbable is expected. They have a simple proverb, to the effect that it is highly improbable that in the infinite universe there should be an inhabited planet called Earth, where the odds of drawing an ace to a royal flush in poker, these terms are meaningless sounds to them, are almost a certainty by comparison. Yet, people on Earth speak of clowns. Of course, they have no more belief that Earth exists than we do in the existence of Clownola or clowns themselves.
Thank you, Dionysus Close. Hey, can we talk? Can we talk? Apparently not. Man, Joan Rivers. Ugh, that's just scary. Going for a minor procedure? Well, when you're that old, I mean, she should just stick to facelifts. I'm telling you, this is scary. This is scary business. Is this Obamacare at work? Killing off Joan Rivers? Oh, man. Sad, I'm telling you, sad. Any of those of you out there doing these outpatient procedures, be careful. And I know the fact that either you have to read the 100-word story on your own, or you could use a voice thingy. I'm sure Serendipity isn't a robot. But if Serendipity is a robot, you're more than welcome. Just like the NFL, openly welcoming openly gay players. Here at 100-word stories, we welcome robots. We do. We do, and we aren't going to make up some excuse and cut them after spring training. No way, man. It's not even spring. What is it? Preseason or camp or whatever they call it. No, we won't cut the robots. I will not cut a robot. I will not even cut a gay robot. I'm telling you. We here, very open-minded. Well, not very open-minded. I'm kind of an asshole. Anyway, next up, Normal Joe? Sure, okay.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 436 with a prompt of ace. Flypaper Boy's coming along. I have about 50 pages left to edit, and it will be ready by the end of September. Maybe even before the first day of fall. Well, that's my goal. So here's my story. Baron Willem von Windowinder adjusted his monocle and took a deck of cards from the pocket inside of his suit coat. Across the small table, Sir Andrew Cranksworth, Earl of Upwidget, twisted one side of his snow-white mustache and said, We're old men, Baron. Deal the cards before one of us expires. With arthritic fingers, the Baron slowly shuffled and dealt the cards. In the end, when the Baron called the Earl, they both showed their hands and laughed for hours. Who would have thought that the old pair of aces, each had a pair of aces? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Philip Norville, Joe Carroll, and congratulations on your progress with Fly Paperboy. I'm going to buy that for myself for my birthday. If you print it out, I want a signed copy. I want to put it up on my shelf because Fly Paperboy has been capturing, has been in my imagination for years, and I'm looking forward to this, man. So if you ever print it out and all that, the writing and stuff, or if you need someone to review it, I really suck at that. I'm horrible at reviewing stuff. So anyway, here, let me just refresh the... I've changed iTunes to just show all unplayed instead of list, and now I don't see the stupid little cloudies. So I think that's fixed. Here we go. The topic of the next weekly challenge is Fork. Delete. Born Madam and the White Yogi. Already listened to it. Okay, the list. Downloading one item. Space exploration. Oh, Fresh Air Weekend. Already listened to that stuff. Don't recompile it for me again. Oh, this is so stupid. Anyway, who's next? Well, Planet Z, of course. He's the one who ends it all.
Dad always said to keep an ace up my sleeve for when the going gets tough. The problem is, I'm always wearing the wrong shirt. The ace up the sleeve of a shirt that's at the dry cleaners or in my closet. Once I gave away the shirt with an ace up the sleeve to Goodwill. By the time I realized it, they already washed and given the shirt to some homeless dude. I wandered the city looking for that shirt, but I never found that bum. I came close, but he had an ace up his sleeve.
Hey guys, you know what time it is? It's time to say goodbye for the week. Aww, Captain! Skippy, we don't want to go! No, you've got to go. Go do your stuff. It's going to be a long week, except those of you who are in that big, great country called America taking Labor Day off, unless you're covering somebody who's actually getting Labor Day off and you have to work. I mean, what's the point of Labor Day if you have to work? I mean, yeah, cops, firemen, sewer operators, bank robbers. I salute you people for keeping the place going while we all just fuck around and have fun. I'm just going to be home taking a bath, probably. Oh, I forgot to tell you about Tenny. She's doing fine. She had her teeth cleaned, and then yesterday she was all crazy and freaking out and jumping all over and having a blast. She loves cardboard boxes, especially when she's whacked out on catnip. She's asleep in a chair now. What? Oh, we got to wrap this up. Okay, thank you very much for being a part of the weekly challenge this week. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, the topic is going to be Fork. So go fork yourself. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.